Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These verses have been from time to time coming to my head. I just want to ask us this morning, is there any more terrible words that we could hear this morning as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ? And you know, Jesus is not speaking these words to heathen people. He did not speak those words to heathen people. He spoke those words to religious people. He was not out trying to think of some countries around Israel that did not know God at that time. He was not out there speaking to them, but he was right there speaking to the Jewish people, and I believe he's speaking to the religious people of today. And I have an intense burden this morning, and I just want to share that burden with you this morning. As I look across the churches in America, I believe there are many, many religious people today that are going to end up at the judgment day and hear those words. Depart from me, I never knew you. They're going to respond just as Jesus prophesies that they will. Lord, Lord, we preached in thy name. We said that we were Christians. We were part of a Mennonite church. It was even conservative. We did many good things. We were friends with those that were struggling. Those that were rejected from the church, we sympathized with them. Lord, Lord, we were good people. We helped our neighbors. And Jesus will say, depart. I never knew you. And I greet you this morning in the name of this Jesus. I know earlier this week I told some of you that how I enjoy expository preaching. And I was fully intending to preach on the next virtue of forgiveness. But that changed late Friday night, early Saturday morning. I was very tired Friday night, almost maybe we could say exhausted. And not that Friday was a big day, but it's just the end of the week. I don't know how many of you feel this way when you get to Friday, but you're just ready for Saturday where you can, and Sunday where you can rest and relax. In fact, my wife and I were tired enough that we almost didn't go to Sam and Beth's bonfire. We were so tired. So that night when I went to bed, I fell asleep right away. But somewhere in the middle of the night, I woke up. And these verses from Matthew 7 were just rolling through my mind. And as I continued to ponder them, I thought about how terrible that would be for myself to stand before Christ and hear those words. My mind went on to the Mennonite churches, and maybe even beyond Mennonite, you can go to any denomination. And I thought about the many people that are professing Christianity and yet do not know Jesus. And it didn't stop there. I thought about these dear people at Sunshine. Yes, people sitting in this audience that possibly will hear those words. Depart, I never knew you. I don't know how that day of judgment will be. I don't know how Jesus is going to orchestrate all this in God. As he talks about the scene here in Matthew. But there's another part of this burden that I carry as well, and that's found in Hebrews 13:17. Don't need to turn there. That verse says, obey them that have a rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This morning, I'm not so worried about the first part of that verse, but I think about the accountability and the responsibility we as church leaders carry. And I cannot imagine the grief that we as a leadership here would face as we stand there at that scene and watch this congregation come in. And there be those that hear those words. I don't know what Glenn and Sim and I would do, and Harold. But the grief would be tremendous. That is a burden that I have this morning. I forgot to remind Glenn this morning as well, and I was thinking about it during prayer, that there's also part of this that we are approaching communion. And by the way, those dates are November 18 through 20. Sorry, Glenn, I forgot to remind you. And yes, this is a time of soberness as we think about what it cost for the salvation of the human race. But I also believe that communion is a time of joy and gladness. And this morning, if you think about the approaching communion and you do not want to commune with this body and you don't want to take part in communion and be a part of the church, may I submit to you this morning that you do not know Jesus, and on the day of the judgment you will hear these words no matter how good a person you are. And if you feel this morning that I'm singling you out, and you feel like I'm preaching at you or someone else specifically, remember that I also am being singled out. My burden is as we look across Christianity and religious circles, every single one of us has the potential to make our walk with Jesus a religious form that we put on. And this message is for all of us. We can become a religious form and lose that walk with Jesus Christ. And that is my burden. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. This is simply where we're going to find the title to my message. And this is not the text. We're not at the text verses. But I want to use a few verses here in Galatians 5 to launch us into what I would like to preach about and also to give us our title. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Right there is what I'd like our title to be this morning. Walk in the Spirit. Are we walking in the Spirit of Christ this morning? This Spirit is capitalized, and so it's not just any Spirit. When we have a capital letter in English, it's referring to a specific thing. And here it is referring to the specific Spirit of God. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, is the rest of that verse. There's another set of words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 25, 21. This is just part of the verse, and it's in the context of the talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. As I think of those two contrasting verses from Matthew, we all want to hear Matthew 25, 21. And that is my desire this morning, to stir us up, to live a life that we can boldly and have confidence that we will hear those words in Matthew 25. Also want to read verses 17 and 18 here in Galatians 5. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 17, does that sound familiar with what Paul wrote in Romans? There is a warfare going on. There is the flesh that we battle against, and there is the Spirit of God, and those two are contrary one to another. And this morning, if there's not a battle in your life, then you are probably living after the flesh. Not just probably, you are, because if there is no battle, that means you are not walking in the Spirit. There's another thought that I want to give here this morning, and I believe that living after the flesh and living under the law will have the same end results. And hearing those terrible, terrible words of Jesus, "Depart from me." It seems like in religious circles we have a tendency to follow the law. And let's go to Romans chapter 7 and 8. That's where I would like to spend the rest of the morning. And I somewhat tremble to preach out of Romans because I always feel like Romans is way deeper than I can go. And is way above my head, but I will do what I can to expound what God has given to me. We're not going to read these two chapters for lack of time. I just want to pull a few verses here and there and talk about what Paul is trying to communicate to us this morning, I believe. And there's also no way that I can cover these two chapters and do justice to them. There is so much in these chapters, and as I read them again yesterday and studied them, I realized that. I also want to look at this morning to practically walk in the Spirit in 2022. And 2022 is almost over. We only got a few more months. If the Lord continues to tarry, I want to see what it's like to live in 2023 as well by walking in the Spirit. And I believe as we look at this, you will notice in chapter 7, I went through here earlier some time ago, and I underlined the word law in chapter 7. And if I counted right, through the entire chapter, it is the word law is used 22 times. I also underlined the word spirit. It is only used one time in chapter 7. And as we consider what Paul is trying to get across to us, I believe verse 24 sums up this chapter so well. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? The law is not evil. The law, rather, is holy and good. Look at verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. The law is not a bad part or something wrong. But rather, the law brings conviction of sin. But there is no remedy for sin in the law. Paul is writing of Moses' law that God had given to him. But I believe that there's two other laws that would fit right into this scripture as well. The one would not fit all the time, and that is the laws of the earthly kingdoms that are set up. And we're studying Daniel right now, and that's where the earthly laws would not fit. When the three Hebrew boys were asked to worship that idol, and when Daniel was asked to pray only to the king, and other times that laws were laid down throughout history for God's people to follow that went directly against God, those are times when, yes, that law will still bring conviction. Daniel and his three friends always had to answer to that earthly law, but God did not bring conviction and death to them because it went against his moral law. But for the most part, as you think about following the law, it directly fits in with that. Let me use an example. Have you ever been pulled over by a police officer And he walks up to your vehicle and says, I've been watching your driving habits, and I appreciate and your respect that you have for the driving laws. That ever happened to you? It's never happened to me. Rather, what happens when you're driving 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone? There is conviction and there is penalty brought to us if the police officer sees us and pulls us over. There is penalty because the law, we have broken that law. Some of us are willing to take that chance with speeding because officers are not everywhere present. And possibly we can get by with it without getting caught. Does this concept work with God? Can we ever break God's law and get by with it? If we are living by the Mosaic law, can we break parts of it and expect God to be busy with another traffic stop and not notice? We're just going to stop thinking about the earthly kingdom's laws. And there's another law that I had in mind, and that is the church standards. I believe would fit in here very well. And this really is where my burden is this morning. Yes, there's those today that want to follow parts of the Mosaic law and believe that they must follow the Mosaic law. But I really think what the church faces today is people that grew up in religious circles and think that if we follow what the church says and stay within the standards, I will be all right. Maybe we would like to think that it's out there somewhere, maybe with the Amish or some other conservative Mennonite groups. But I believe this morning that it can be right within our own hearts. Can be the very own thing that you and I are thinking this morning, and the consequences for following this law, these laws, is the words of Jesus, depart from me. If we are just following the law without a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is nothing. It is emptiness. There are people that simply just follow the flesh. They do not want any part of God. They want what they want as much as they want, with no thought of God being present, or so it seems. There are also those that follow the law or church standards so that they can live after the flesh. And that is where I want us to begin to think about that living after the law and living after the flesh are one of the same. Here's what Jesus told the Pharisees, why that Moses wrote a bill of divorcement, because the hardness of their heart. And as I look at the way the Pharisees lived, they had created some 600 plus laws on top of what God had given them. And by the time that Jesus walked on this earth, they had created laws that went directly against God's law, where they could legally dishonor their father and their mother. I'm only using these two examples as an example. I'm not saying that's where we as Mennonites are failing today. But I want to make the point that when we follow laws and create more laws, it is simply to create loopholes for us to follow the flesh. And that is not the heart of God. I'm reading in Jeremiah in my personal devotions. What I've been doing is I read a book of the Old Testament, and then I go read several in the New. So I have been through Isaiah. Mostly I've been doing this with the prophecies. I read through Isaiah. I'm partway through Jeremiah. And although God gives much condemnation to the sinful people, the theme that keeps running through there is not that God wants his people to come back to the law, but that God wants a relationship with his people. Over and over through those prophecies, God is pleading with people to come and have a relationship with him. And that is my burden this morning. Do you and I have a relationship with God, or do we come to church and go through the form of godliness with no power? or are we walking in the Spirit this morning? God did not ask his people to come back to the law because law exposes sin, brings condemnation and guilt, and has no remedy. Rather, law is to point us to God in a relationship with him. A relationship with God is the remedy this morning. That is why God has given the church the authority to establish guidelines or law. I'm not promoting this morning to take our standard booklet and throw it out the window and say we only walk by the Spirit. That has disastrous consequences already. We know of churches that do that and it doesn't work. God has given the church authority to establish guidelines, not for us to live by, but to point us to Christ and a relationship with him. I'm going to take us back to earthly kingdom laws for just a bit. What would it be like to go in this country, go to driving around with absolutely no laws? Imagine trying to drive down the interstate, and it doesn't matter which lane you take, which side of the road you drive on. On a four-lane highway, you can drive on either side of the median. You see, laws have a very important part in our lives. Think about trying to go through a big city and there's absolutely no laws. There are countries that do not have a lot of laws as much as the United States does. But even though they may not have written laws, there becomes a certain unspoken law. And I'm thinking mainly with, his name slips my mind, but he was killed in a motorcycle accident in Honduras. A truck came around the corner on the wrong side of the road, I believe, and killed him. The man driving that vehicle, there was an unspoken law in Honduras that he had to disappear quickly, or he was in big trouble. Even though the government may not lay down laws, it becomes an unspoken law in almost every place. Even in churches that throw out guidelines and do not have any, there becomes an unspoken law in those churches that you should not cross or you'll be in trouble. A church with no guidelines will be a wreck. God has established order in creation. He's established order in the church and given the church authority to establish guidelines. And as the church follows her head, we as members submit to the authority of the church. We bring glory to God. And I believe with all my heart, as we follow God and we submit to each other and we submit to the church, we will hear those words of Jesus at the end of life, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know where you're at, but I know as I studied this, in my point of study, I got to this verse 24 again very quickly. Maybe your mind is in the verses of 14 through 17 where we are trying to struggle through life. We just cannot quite live up to the either the Mosaic law or their church standards. We're just always making mistakes. We're never quite there. Or maybe you're at 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am. I just can't live perfectly." No matter how we live, there's an emptiness in our heart. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." How do we walk after the Spirit? How do we bring this all together? How do we not follow the law of Moses and just become so centered on law and guidelines and just that's what we pour our heart in and lose that relationship with Jesus? And I just want to mention, I did not count in chapter 8. But if you read through chapter 8, law is used a few times. But the majority of times, the word Spirit is used. And that is, to me, the most beautiful contrast between these two verses. We live by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. Let's just go through and read a few verses. Let's go to verse 5 and we'll read to 8. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To follow the law, To be wrapped up in the law is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, for God neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's drop down to verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beautiful, beautiful verses to think and to dwell on. And I just want to look at three practical ways this morning to walk in the Spirit. How do you and I, as we go through the week, as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we think about church life in the future, and as we walk day by day, how do we walk in the Spirit? Number one, John 3, verse 3, this is just part of the verse again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You and I cannot walk in the Spirit unless we die to self and be filled with the Spirit of God. God will not force himself into our lives. It is a choice that we make. I don't know how many of you listened to Glenn Hurst's sermon this week. It was put on the men's chat. But I'd just like to borrow a thought from that message. It was a seed in my mind, a concept, but I have a hard time sometimes putting words to things in the back of my head that I know in my heart, but I can't get out. He said this, the last independent decision we made was to follow Jesus. And there's a lot of different ways you could take that, but I just struck a chord deep within my heart, and I know that I have failed in that many times. But you stop and think about it. The last time you made an independent decision should have been when you made the decision to follow Jesus. And I think about it in church life. As individuals, we can express our viewpoints. We can express the way we see things. But when a decision is made, we must support that decision by the church 100%. If you and I are walking in the Spirit, if we are following Jesus, we support what the church decides. And what happens in American churches so many times today, and I'm most familiar with Mennonite churches, is decisions are made and people are not happy. And rather than support the church, they either begin to talk about the church in a negative way, and they run people down, and they try to make other people look bad. And I want to ask you, when people do not get along with your spouse, but begin to cast a bad light about them, how do you feel about that person? I know for myself, when somebody does not get along with my wife, it is very, very difficult for me to get along with her, with the other person. I want to ask you this, what is God thinking when me or you as an individual is speaking against the bride of his bride? What do you think God is thinking when I or you run the church down and want to push the church out of my life and I can't stand the people there? What do you think God is thinking about you when you do that against his bride? I think I've told you already what the scriptures that we read told us already what God thinks of that. Another thing people will do is move on to another church with the idea that we will go to a church that supports my ideas. And I am not saying that everyone that moves to another church is doing wrong. I believe this morning in my heart that God moves people to other churches for a reason. But I also want to ask, what is the heart of God? As you think about this statement of moving on because I don't agree, where really is the problem? The statement centers around self. It's about me and myself, a decision based on self. I am moving because I don't get along. It's not a decision based on what God wants, but a decision based on self. When we are born again, decisions are made from the standpoint of what is the heart of God. God created us to have a relationship with Him. We are created in His own image. And He established that relationship to be through the church, His bride. And He's not coming back for multiple brides. He's coming back for one bride. When you and I make decisions, and this is getting into more practical life, and here's where I want to tie in church standards. Really, all church standards are is denominational preferences. But what I want us to think about when you and I go to choose our job, what we wear, the vehicles we drive, the houses we live in, are you seeking the heart of God in these matters? When you're standing, when I am standing in the clothing aisle or the footwear aisle, does my mind go, well, what does the church standard say? How am I going to be okay with this? Where's the heart of God? I am here to reflect and walk in the Spirit and reflect God's image. And that is the question we need to be asking. Will this job, will this piece of clothing, will these boots, will this car reflect that I am a servant of God? You see, when I begin to look at the standard first, and I'm more concerned about the standards, God is no longer first in my thoughts. Something else has replaced it. We ask the question, will this pass the standards? Will I get in trouble with the preachers if I do this, or if I go here, or if I buy that? Listen, you should be a whole lot more worried about the trouble you will be in for eternity with God than what the preachers have to say here on earth about your choice or choices. And I think for myself, a lot of times when I really stop and think about it, especially in the bigger decisions, even in the smaller ones in clothing and stuff, when you just pause, when you just stop right there in that aisle and just ask yourself, will this identify me as one of God's servants? It's really, you don't even need to go to the standard booklet. Your decisions, if you are walking in the Spirit, your decisions should be made already. If you have a relationship with God, you shouldn't have to go to the standard booklet to make sure that you're okay. Number two, walking in the Spirit is a continued relationship with Him. One time had a person tell me, I don't have my devotions every day, but on the days I don't have the devotions, I try to listen to music or a sermon. Let me tell you this morning, that is a very careless approach to having a relationship with God. I'm not saying that our personal devotions has to be first thing in the morning, but what I am telling you, we must set aside a time for daily reading and worship. And I understand, mothers, that this is difficult at times. You're busy, especially when you have babies and there's preschoolers and there's school children. But it is so important for us to have a time of worship daily with God. That is walking in the Spirit. If I do not take a daily worship experience serious with God, what will be my experience on the judgment day? If I'm not serious about this relationship with God and I just do it whenever it suits, I believe I will hear those words depart from me. Friends, where is your priorities this morning? You cannot convince me, if I was an unbeliever, you cannot convince me that God is first in your life if you do not spend time with Him on a daily basis reading His Word. And I think relationships is an interesting thing. And this is moving on more with relationship with others. I just like to draw two illustrations on this board. I'm not very good at drawing and handwriting, but I just like to illustrate our relationships with God, walking in the Spirit and with each other, how that looks like. And I like to do it in the shape of a triangle. Hopefully this one works. So we have a triangle like this. We put God here at the top. Down here is an individual. And there's another individual. As you and I walk in the Spirit, we can be either one at the bottom, but as we travel up that triangle, we grow closer together in our relationships as we grow closer to God. And that's how it ought to be in the church. We ought to be coming closer and closer to each other as we build our relationship with God. Now, what happens when you have a person that does not follow God, is rejecting God, is walking away? How does that work? Still have a triangle, but the individual that doesn't want to follow God is over there. And there's no way for us to draw close together if there's a person that is distancing himself, whether it's in the community. And I experience this as I get around to different people. There's only a certain dimension you can get close to a person. In this bottom illustration, when that person is far away from God, it is hard to get close to that person, even though I may be close to God. But I may be that person that's far away from God, and you cannot approach me. And so this morning, I want to emphasize the importance of each of us drawing close to God and walking close with Him. And this kind of illustration works whether you are in the church, in a marriage, or as in business. And I think especially with a marriage, if you and your wife want to be close to each other, you must walk close with God. You must put importance on your relationship with God. And the closer two individuals or a group of people draw close to God, the closer they become to each other. Number three, walking in the Spirit will be a life of prayer. Along with your devotional time, and this is something I at times struggle with, is there a time of prayer? God's heart is that we pray. God wants us to talk with Him, not just Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but what does Paul write? Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a tremendously important part of our life if we want to walk in the Spirit. God wants to hear your joys and praise and thanksgiving. He also wants to hear your burdens and your cares. There is nothing too small to take to God. I think about as we go through the day. Many times, whatever we're doing does not need our entire full brain power. It's not going to be needed for the task. There is times where it takes our complete concentration for the task at hand. But there's also many times where we can multitask. There's a part of our brain that is doing the work that needs to be done, and our thoughts can be 1,000 miles away. I ask you this morning, do we feel it, that it is that time, that extra time that our brain can handle? Do we fill it with how I can make an extra dollar to pad my pocket? Do we fill it with how I can make more money to have more fun? Do we fill it with how other people have mistreated us and how we can bring them into their place, set them right? Do we fill it with thoughts of impurity? Do we fill that time with being on the phone, gossiping about how terrible other people are? What are we filling that extra time with? Friends, this morning, if we are walking in the Spirit, we will spend that time in prayer. It doesn't need to be a deep intercessory prayer. It can be simply going through and thanking God for all the good He has done for you. And I know what it's like to have extra time and what it's like to fill my mind with some of those above said things. And I am mentally wore out at the end of the day, but I also know what it's like to experience victory and to walk in the Spirit and fill my free time with thoughts of God's Word, thanking Him for what He has done. And at the end of the day, my brain is a lot more at rest in peace. Do we spend time in intercessory prayer in those times as well, praying for our brothers and sisters? Do I spend time praying as I have that free time and my entire brain is not concentrated on my work? Do I pray for opportunities to share the goodness of the gospel? Maybe you're driving from home to town, and as you're driving, are you praying, God, show me somebody to speak to, and I need to grow in this area. Are you praying maybe on your way to town, you meet a brother in the church, and do you spend the rest of the time praying for them? There is so much we can do with our spare time. The list could go on and on. There are so many things to pray about. And I want to add, there are so many things to pray about with thanksgiving. God has done so much for us. As I mentioned before, in the Old Testament prophets, God pronounces a lot of condemnation and wickedness. But there is also God pleading for His people to have a relationship with Him. And God has not changed. He desires just as much now that you and I would seek His face, just as He called the children of Israel to. He doesn't want us to just live by the standards of the church. He doesn't want us to just live by the law. He wants a relationship with you and I. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, to make every decision of our lives be run past Him. He wants a relationship with us. And as a result of this relationship, we will be part of a literal church where there is relationship and communion with other believers. God works through the church. And may I say again that when we separate and distance ourselves from church, we are separating and distancing ourselves from God. And in eternity, there is consequences for that in the form of Jesus saying, I never knew you, depart. In closing, I pray that my burden was understood. And that as we approach communion, that we would seriously ponder our relationship with God. Am I walking in the Spirit of God? Does knowing the heart of God, is that the driving force of my life? Is my entire world wrapped up around getting to know God better and going deeper with God? Just some questions I want to end with in closing. What does God want from me today? Is that one of your waking thoughts in the morning? Dallas already challenged us with what our first thoughts were yesterday morning. But what do you think about when you first wake up? Is God something you think about right away? Or is it after the coffee is made and after a little while, well, I suppose I should sit down and have my devotions today. Is my actions a representation of the life he wants to live. Does God really want me to spend my money, not my money, does God really want to spend the money he's entrusted to me there? And I simply use that word because we have so many places to spend our money. Does God really want me to spend the money he has entrusted to me there? Are my hobbies and family and all my personal agenda brought under his guidance? Living after the flesh or by the law, we will want to make decisions independent of God, his word, and his church. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just pause before you. We want to open our hearts, Lord. Forgive us where we have failed to walk closely with you. Forgive us for the times where we have just went out on our own and made decisions without seeking your face first. Lord, I pray that as we go from here, that our entire lives would be wrapped up in your service, of walking in your spirit, of following what you want us to do, and of crucifying self. We just thank you for each one that is here. We thank you for the children. Bless their lives, Lord, and may we endeavor to teach and train them about you. Go with us and guide us, and may we follow you and serve you to the best of our abilities. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.